Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. It's time to make the connecting point. So I'm pretty sure that after that conversation with Anna Kitko, you are ardently praying for college students who you know and college professors who you know and college campuses that you drive past. And so let's specifically be praying for the University of Northwestern at St. Paul, which is our home at Faith Radio. And so let's be lifting up every student and every member of the faculty and every member of the administration. And let's also be lifting up the community in which the university sits and thrives and has influence. And, you know, there's all kinds of concentric ripples that both affect a university or a college in a community and which are affected by the presence of a college or a university in its midst. And so let's be praying a hedge of protection around not only individuals, but around campuses. I think that's always an important thing to do in the culture in which we live. And I'm specifically, one of my specific prayers for folks on college campuses is that there be a genuine free exchange of ideas, that people be genuinely free and feel free to express their ideas, that it be a place where good ideas and bad ideas can actually come and clash, and students and faculty can interact with mutual respect, and the best ideas win, because you and I know that ultimately that will be good news for people of faith. Okay, so I had a listener question after yesterday's opening segment. So my opening segment yesterday was about praying the news, and I lifted up several concerns globally in which I was inviting folks to be praying the news, in part because there are some things that happen around the world that we read in the headline news, and I don't want to say there's nothing else we can do but pray, but there's nothing else we can do but pray. And yet, if we pray, we're doing everything that we're responsible to do, and we're doing all that's necessary. Because in those particular situations and circumstances, what is really needed is God's intervention, God's outpouring of grace, God's influencing hearts and minds and situations and scenarios. And so a listener said, hey, I get it. I get that I should pray the news, and I want to. But how do I pray the news? So I thought, well, that's a great question. So here's how I would answer that. When you are reading the headlines and then reading further beyond the headlines into the actual content of the stories of the day, what do you observe about the world? That would be the first question that I would ask. What observations are you making? And if what is happening is that your heart is breaking, if you are a person of faith, then what breaks your heart is that which breaks the heart of God. And so if there is something that you come across in a headline or deeper into a story and you are heartbroken over it, then that is absolutely an indication that it's time to pause and pray the news. So you are observing something about the world that is evidence of sin. It's evidence of brokenness. It's evidence of the way things are not supposed to be. And so that's when I pause. If I'm reading or I'm listening on the radio or the television to headlines or to news related stories, and it's breaking my heart, it's making my heart hurt, it's information that's contrary to what I know to be the truth, it's not beautiful, it's ugly. So goodness, beauty, and truth, beauty, truth, and goodness are the three transcendental virtues. And so if it's something that is contrary to any of those transcendental virtues, actually godly virtues, then there's a reason to stop and pray and to say to God, I see that. I see it. I see that. I see it. And I know it's contrary to who you are, and it's contrary to how you made things, and it's contrary to the way you want things to be. I see it, God. I don't know that I can do anything about it, but I know you can do something about it, and I know what your perspective is on it. So the first thing that I have done in praying the news is I've made an observation about something that is happening in the world, and I am holding that up against the lens of who I know God to be and how I know God has created things to be and his redemptive plan for all of human history and for all of creation. So I'm answering what I'm seeing in the world with a prayer about what I know to be true about who God is. And so I'm speaking to God about the reality of who he is and what I know to be true of him in recognition that there are things happening here right now that are contrary to who he is and what he wills. And then I put those things together. So how can what I know about God, how can that be brought to bear on what I observe about the world? Usually that's a pleading for God's intervention. That's generally what I'm doing when I'm praying the news. I'm pleading for God who is holy and God who is just and God who is merciful and God who has all power and God who shines light into darkness and God, the God who intervenes and the God who saves and the God who sees. I am praying by name with conviction and recognizing these character qualities of God that he has demonstrated not only throughout human history, but has revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And I am by Christ and by the power of the Spirit going into the throne room and pleading for God to intervene. If you need some scriptural examples of this, you can just turn to the Psalms. I mean, I if you want to look for places where, you know, folks have looked at what's going on around them and then looked at what they know to be true about God and been like, these two things are very far apart. And the only way to bring them together and righteousness to bear in this situation is for God to do something. So there's many, I won't even say several, because there's many Psalms that we could turn to. For our purposes today, let's just flip to Psalm 2. So what are the headlines that the psalmist is dealing with? Well, the headlines that the psalmist is dealing with in Psalm 2 have to do with national security and international threats. Well, do we ever read headlines like that? Well, yes, sometimes we do. So in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is observing that the nations conspire and the people of the world plot in vain against God, that the kings of the earth are taking their stand and the rulers are gathering together against God. And so then in verse 4, the psalmist declares what he knows to be true about God. Look, you're the one enthroned in heaven, and you're laughing. I know you are. You're scoffing at them. And you'll rebuke them in your anger. I know you will. And then the psalmist considers what it means in terms of his own witness as an ambassador of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. And so in verse 10, we read this, "Therefore, kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him." So the psalmist turns from observing things that are happening in the world that are completely contrary to God's character, God's design, God's will. He recognizes truths that he knows about God. Things that are absolutely certainly true about God. And then he turns in warning to his neighbors and he's like, I'm going to appeal to you that you would actually pay attention to what's happening here and who God is and come to the place where you acknowledge who he is. Psalm 14 deals with the challenge of secular atheism. So we deal with the challenge of secular atheism. So, you know, how did the psalmist deal with it? Well, in verse 1, the psalmist, this is a Psalm 14. You could actually, it's exactly the same as Psalm 53 if you didn't know that. That's kind of cool. A little repetition. If God says something twice, he must really think it's important. In verse 1 of Psalm 14, the psalmist lays out the issue. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. Now, have you read any news story like that in recent days? Have you heard anyone reject the reality of God? Anybody making that case? Have you ever gotten to the place where you feel like all the news from every sector is bearing witness to evil and death and there's nothing good and I'm all alone? Well, here's good news. The headlines in the days of the psalmist seemed equally as evil, equally as dire, equally as bad. Verse 2 reads, "The Lord looks down from heaven to see if there's anybody who understands, who seeks after God." And then everybody's turned aside. It's just not even one who's following. And yet, clearly that's not true. So with the psalmist and with the Lord, we ask, will evildoers ever learn? And where is God in all of this? And the psalmist prays the news. Oh, that salvation would come. Oh, that salvation would come. So do you see a pattern? As you pray the news, simply tell God what's breaking your heart, recognizing that it's probably breaking his heart too. And then declare all that you know to be true of God in the face of that evil, and then pray in the Spirit for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can do this. And then turn to the world that God so loves and go out as a witness of light into the darkness. All right, friends, that's literally all the time we've got here today on Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Visit me online at reconnectwithcarmen.com or at myfaithradio.com. Have a great day, and God bless.